Afternoon, everybody. I'm glad to be back. The Guyana mission trip was very good. It was a success in terms of what we were able to go there to do and accomplish. It was 20 hours of driving on the road to get to the village. And then when we were there, we did a Bible study, a morning session and a night session. And then I was able to preach on two Sundays to the local church there. And then a 20-hour journey back to the city. And then we arrived home safely. So praise God for that. And also just thank you very much for all of your prayers and your support over the last 2 weeks. I heard from Pastor Gabe that everything went well. Hopefully you learned a lot from his two messages. And so now today we are going to continue with our spiritual warfare study. I did make a mistake that I noticed. We are on part four today. And next week, I noticed that I also put part four, but that should be part five. But it's okay. Today is actually part four, and next week will be part five, even though it says part four. Okay, so before we get into the study, let's just pray together. Father, thank you so much for giving us life and giving us breath today. As Andrew said, that is a blessing and a privilege, God, that you are the giver of life. You are the giver of breath, and you have given us life today. We don't want to waste our time here today, God, just coming here on a Sunday and going through the motions. But we're really expecting that we are going to hear from you, God, that you are going to speak to us and we will be able to hear your voice clearly. So I pray that as you use me to teach, I just surrender to you, Holy Spirit, and I ask that you would help me to speak your truth in love and help us to continue to understand and grow in our understanding of spiritual warfare and what this means for us in our Christian journey. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're on page 14 in your book, and as usual, we'll be following along on the PDF as well. Okay, and so just a quick review. Okay, there's a few things that we are trying to accomplish as a church as we go on this journey together. And hopefully you remember these three things. I've shared it pretty much every week that we've gone through this study. But the number one thing is that we want to have a biblical worldview. Okay, what that means again is that we could go through life as Christians, we can, you know, go on this journey as Christians. But if we don't have a biblical worldview, a perspective that is shaped by the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, then it's easy for us to live our life as Christians with wrong thinking and a wrong perspective. And a wrong perspective and wrong thinking is ultimately going to lead to wrong living as Christians. A type of living that may not be that honorable to God. And so we want to have a biblical worldview. The second is this, is that as we go through this study, the hope is that we would become more aware. That the intention here is not to create fear, as we talk about the angelic creation or fallen angels or demonic spirits. But the intention here is for us to become more aware of what the Bible says. Okay, and the last thing is that at the end of this journey, the hope and the prayer is that you would have the mindset of a soldier of Christ. Okay, not a casual comfortable Christian or a casual, comfortable churchgoer, but the mindset of a soldier. Because the truth is, and we will see this throughout the study, is that we are at war. Okay, there is a war for your spiritual growth, but there is also a war that is happening for the salvation of the people that are around us. And as Christians, as the church, we are called by Jesus to be engaged in this war. Okay, and it goes beyond just merely coming to church and serving. Those are good things. But we're going to start to understand and learn that as Christians, how do we engage in this war and how do we stand firm in our own faith and also be able to make an impact in the lives of the people that are around us. Okay? And so we're going to start here today with the kingdom of Satan. Okay, if you remember from the past studies that we did, we've established that there is a kingdom of God, right? When God created the heavens and the earth, there was already the angelic creation that existed. Because we know that in Genesis, it talks about how God was communicating with this angelic creation, and they praise God. And they saw that everything that God created was good. Okay? So we understand that there is a kingdom of God. God has angels that are ready and available for the work that God desires for them to do. And the angelic creation exists to worship God. We will learn more about the angelic creation later today and also next week. Okay? But one thing we also need to understand is that there is a kingdom of Satan as well. Okay? And it consists of a hierarchy of fallen angels and demons who have a desire to destroy humanity and disrupt the life of the Christian. Okay? This is the evil of all evils that exists in our world. It is an unseen world. It is an unseen reality. But demonic spirits and the kingdom of Satan, Satan himself, they have one goal. And that is to destroy humanity. How do they destroy humanity? Well, they prevent humanity from coming to the realization that there is a God in heaven that loves them unconditionally. He is not angry at humanity. He is not looking to destroy humanity. He is not looking to punish humanity, but God is looking to redeem humanity. And he demonstrated that through sending his son, Jesus Christ. The devil wants to prevent people from believing this message, hearing this message, and ultimately receiving the love of the Father. And he and his kingdom will take absolute pleasure in destroying humanity and taking people with him to hell. The second thing is that the kingdom of Satan looks to disrupt the life of the Christian. That's you and that's me. Okay? He's just looking to disrupt our growth. He's looking to disrupt, you know, how we live our life for Christ. Okay? It's called spiritual warfare for a reason. Because you will notice that anytime you step up and you decide to take a step of faith and do something for God, there is going to be pushback. There is going to be resistance. Things are going to come up maybe in your life that we will understand later on that are not necessarily just natural things, but they are spiritual things. The enemy is looking to disrupt our growth, okay? So that's important to understand. So we have this story here now where Jesus casts out two demons, okay? One demon is a demonic spirit of blindness, and it's also a demonic spirit of muteness, okay? Meaning that the individual cannot speak. And so this man comes and Jesus heals him. And then You have the Pharisees who are always there, ready to criticize, ready to doubt, ready to attack Jesus and what he's doing. And they actually say in a very negative attitude, or with a very negative attitude, that Jesus is casting out demons because he himself has the power of Satan with him. Now, this could be something where Jesus could get really offended and really lash out at the Pharisees. But what Jesus says is that he simply cannot stand against a kingdom, the kingdom of Satan, if he himself is a part of that kingdom. He can only stand against the kingdom of Satan if he is a part of a different kingdom, because a kingdom cannot be divided against itself. Okay? And so the three bullet points underneath the scripture verse in the book, you guys can read that on your own time. But what I want to point out, the fourth bullet point, it says, using an analogy, Jesus explained his authority to bind Satan's power. He is stronger than the strong man Satan is. In doing so, Jesus presented a valuable principle in spiritual warfare. As we remember that Jesus gives us the permission to use his name and authority, giving us the strength and power we need in binding the strong man. Jesus also made it clear that he was the stronger man, who was not captive under the strong man. His message was, I'm not under Satan's power. Instead, I'm proving that I am stronger than he is by casting him out of those he has possessed. The very fact that I have been able so successfully to invade Satan's territory is proof that he is bound and powerless to resist. Jesus looks at every life delivered from Satan's domination and says, I'm plundering the kingdom of Satan one life at a time. There is nothing in our life that must stay under Satan's domination. The one who binds the strong man and will plunder his goods is our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so, what is that saying here? What that's saying is that ultimately Jesus is stronger than Satan, in simple terms. But as Christians, we also have Holy Spirit's power that is living inside of us. And we also have the authority and the power through Jesus to stand against the kingdom of Satan. Now, that is a very important point that we need to understand about our identity as Christians. Okay, because most Christians will say, yes, I know God loves me. Yes, I know that God takes care of me. Yes, I know God provides for me. But very few Christians understand that they have the power to resist Satan, to stand firm against Satan and his kingdom. But you have that, I have that through the Holy Spirit. That when we gave our life to Christ and we decided to follow Christ and to give up our own way, the Holy Spirit came and dwelled inside of us. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, greater is he that lives within us than he that is in the world. What is that saying? Well, the Spirit that lives inside of us, the Spirit of God, is greater than any spirit that is connected to the kingdom of Satan. Okay? So later on, we will learn, you know, can a Christian be influenced by a demon? Could we have a demonic spirit that we are dealing with? And then also, if we do, well, then how do we cast it out? How do we get rid of it? Just like how Jesus cast out this deaf and mute spirit. How do we go into the world and be able to minister to people and evangelize to people with this understanding that we have the same power that Jesus has? Okay? That'll be a conversation for later. But what I want you to understand now is that you have authority through Jesus to stand against the kingdom of Satan. And as there is a kingdom of God, there is a kingdom of Satan that is looking to disrupt your life as a Christian. Okay? 1 John 2, it says, if we can go up a bit, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Okay, and the two bullet points below. As Christians, we are called to live like Jesus and follow his example. We are called to be aware of the war we are in and fight for lost souls one life at a time. And we have been given the authority through Jesus to do so. We too must ask ourselves if we are under Satan's power in any area of our life. And if the answer is yes, then my hope is that we would be willing to do something about it. Okay? This is where we have to take our faith seriously. Okay? So from this one section, the two things that I want you to understand is that just as there is a kingdom of God, there is a kingdom of Satan. In the kingdom of God, there are angelic beings who are ready to work for God and do his work. And in the kingdom of Satan, there are very high-ranking demonic spirits, very high-ranking fallen angels, and there are lower-ranking fallen angels and demonic spirits who are looking to destroy humanity and disrupt the life of a Christian, okay? And the last thing is that, with all that said, through Jesus, we have authority over the kingdom of Satan, okay? So that is the good news in all of this. Okay, so let's talk a little bit now about the angelic creation. Okay, first bullet points. The angelic creation exists as a part of God's kingdom and have different roles and functions. We will learn more about this during this part and the next part of the study. There are also fallen angels who are a part of Satan's kingdom. According to scripture, 1/3 of the angelic creation rebelled against God along with Satan when he first chose to rebel against God. Okay, Revelation 12 says, then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns with 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky and he threw them to earth. Okay, so 3 rebellions, if you guys can remember. Anybody remember what the first rebellion was? This is important to know. Okay? What was the first rebellion in the Bible? Okay, Adam and Eve? What were you going to say, Isaiah?
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay, so good try. But the first rebellion, Larry, was Lucifer. Yes. So the very first rebellion in the Bible, right? We have to remember. So technically, you're right, Matthew, because Adam and Eve is the first human rebellion, right? But the first rebellion recorded in the Bible is when Lucifer, you have this angel, and the Bible says he was created perfectly. He was created to worship God. He was a very beautiful angel. But there was something off in Lucifer's heart. And he didn't like the order that God established. He didn't like how God had created things. And he chose to rebel against God. That he wanted to sit on the throne. In fact, the Bible says he wanted his throne to be higher than God's throne. And so there was pride in Lucifer's heart. And he and 1/3 of the angelic creation rebelled against God. That was the first rebellion. Okay, the second rebellion is what Matthew said, and it's the first human rebellion was Adam and Eve, when they chose to disobey God and eat of the fruit from the tree that God said not to eat from, right? And we remember that Satan is not probably that serpent, you know, looking like the snake, but it's more like he was an angel that was in the garden for a period of time, probably spoke to Adam and Eve on more than one occasion, which is why Eve and Adam were so familiar with this being. But he had serpent-like features, right? We learned that word, the nakesh. And so it wasn't like this snake slithering on the ground. It was more likely that it was an angelic being with serpent-like features that came to talk with Adam and Eve and deceive them into eating of the fruit. Okay, so that was the second rebellion. And the third rebellion, anybody can remember what the third rebellion was? The species, right? You guys remember what that name was? It starts with the N. Try. So it was called the Nephilim, right? So we remember that the third rebellion against God is that these angels from heaven, right? They chose to cross the boundary that God had established. They came down to earth when God never told them to. And they had intercourse with human women. And after they took the human women as their wives, they created a hybrid type of being called the Nephilim. Okay? So you had very powerful angelic beings having sexual intercourse with human women. And this is not a type of creation that God had established. And so they rebelled against God and created their own type of offspring. And for that reason, God said he had to wipe out the earth because there's a new bloodline that is being created and it's not the bloodline that he desired. And so he had to wipe out the earth and start it all over because this angelic creation chose to rebel, okay? So the three rebellions, as we know that, okay, let's go into now understanding the angelic creation. Understanding, we're under Revelation 12. Understanding the angelic creation is essential for us to grasp the seriousness of the cosmic battle we are in as Christians. As I've mentioned before, when we were water baptized, we openly declared to the unseen realm which side of the battle we are on. Fallen angels have no salvation or repentance. Their only revenge on God is to destroy humanity, and they do it with the utmost passion and pleasure. Okay, let's turn over the top of page 16. Their desire is to hurt those who God loves the most and bring them into eternal separation from God. They hate us and envy us because they want to be like us. This reminds us that we are at war. Okay, and this blue letter Bible commentary says there are invisible angelic beings all around us. There are ministering spirits sent by God to assist us and demonic spirits who want to defeat us. The devil can't unsave a saved person, but through his deceptions, he can corrupt and defile a Christian who is supposed to walk in purity and freedom. To the devil, we are time bombs ready to wreck his work, bombs that he would like to defuse and make ineffective. Okay? So that's a pretty good summary of what Satan and his kingdom are looking to do. So if you are actually just, you know, you come to church on Sunday and then you just go into your week and it's just like a regular work week or a regular week for you at school, I will submit to you, you're probably not that much of a threat to the kingdom of Satan. And he's actually pretty cool and okay with you just coming to church on Sunday and not growing to be like Christ and not growing to stand against his kingdom, but you just come to to church every Sunday and you just go into your week and it's just a regular week for you. Satan is actually really okay with that. Why? Because you're not really making a difference for the kingdom of God. You're just being a comfortable Christian. You're just coming and participating in church, but you're not necessarily making a great impact where you understand that there is a war and you're making a difference in that war. Okay? But the moment you choose to actually make a difference for the kingdom of God, and maybe you choose to tell somebody about Jesus, or maybe you choose to disciple somebody, or maybe you choose for yourself to become a disciple of Christ and to get serious about your faith and your relationship with God, then I would guarantee you Satan and his kingdom are going to take notice of that. Because now you are actually a threat to his kingdom and what he is trying to accomplish. You are actively standing against the kingdom of Satan. And again, that's not a reason to fear, but that's a reason to understand that we are at war. We need to be engaged in the war, and we have all the tools and the power to win the war. Okay? And so it's just a matter of choice, as if we want to engage in the war or if we simply want to sit on the sidelines. Okay? But Satan is looking to diffuse the life of the Christian that is serious about taking a stand against his kingdom. And it is my belief that if we genuinely want to live as disciples of Christ, not good churchgoers, but disciples of Christ, which should be the goal of every Christian, is that we will at some point in our journey need to understand spiritual warfare and what this means for us as Christians. Okay? We're going to learn about one type of the angelic creation. And then next week, we will get into all of the different types of angels that the Bible talks about. Okay? Some with like four eyes and wings and all these different things. It's not what you guys think. Okay? It's not those like babies in diapers with angels floating on clouds that you see in commercials. Okay? That's nothing like what angels are like according to the Bible. But we'll get a good understanding of what the angelic creation is like. But it starts here with this group of angels called the Watchers. Okay? In the Bible, Watchers are a specific class of angels described in Daniel 4 and 23 as holy messengers from heaven who observe and enforce divine decrees. While canonical scripture mentions them only in this context, okay, that means that the Bible only mentions them in this context. They are heavily detailed in the apocryphal scripture literature, particularly the book of Enoch, where they are described as fallen angels, okay? Now we need to understand something. The book of Enoch is not canonical scripture. Okay, it's not scripture that has been inspired by God. But the book of Enoch is a historical book that can help us to understand the historical context and deeper meaning behind scriptures in the Bible. Okay, it's a resource that is meant to help us. So let's understand more about the Watchers. Some Watchers are interested in your well-being, while others are interested in your destruction. The point is, we are constantly being watched in the spiritual realm, and we have been watched since we were conceived. We are living in a very interesting reality, one where there is an unseen and cosmic battle. Many scholars believe it was the Watchers who crossed the boundary God had set and had intercourse with human women. This union resulted in the birth of the Nephilim, a race of giants who corrupted humanity and the earth. Because of their rebellion, the Watchers were punished by God, imprisoned, and ultimately are destined for destruction. Okay? So, let's not just miss this point. Okay, we have to imagine this for a minute. That we have this angelic creation called the Watchers. Okay, so they're chilling in heaven. Everything's cool. Everything's good. And for whatever reason, a group of these Watchers, like a gang in the city of Toronto, decide to rebel against God and do their own thing. Go against the law and the established order that God has created. Right? God gives them free will. So it's not like they're going to God and saying, hey, God, can we go down to earth and check out the women that live there? No, they choose to do it on their own, in their own free will. Okay? And they are very powerful angelic beings. And so if you can imagine when these angels touch down to earth, right? It's kind of like in those Marvel movies, like when Thanos touched down to earth, no one knew what to do. Like this big purple guy has shown up to earth. But if you can remember or imagine that these humans living on the earth during that time, they see these very powerful angelic beings come down to earth. And what many scholars believe is that these angels actually offered something to the fathers of these women in exchange for them. Some believe it was most likely very advanced technology, or it was very advanced type of, you know, a way of thinking. So many different theories out there, but ultimately there was an exchange. The angels gave something and they asked for the woman in return. And then they have the relationship with them and they produce this offspring that God never intended. Okay, and so the Watchers are more than likely that angelic creation that crossed that boundary. Now, those are the evil Watchers, but you have some good Watchers that are actually fighting on your behalf as a Christian and looking out for your best interest or trying to do things for God in the unseen realm. Okay, and so the Watchers are a part of the angelic creation, and they are currently involved in the cosmic battle that is taking place in the unseen realm. Now, just last biblical point to understand, and we'll conclude with this. Where are those Watchers now? Well, the Bible says that they have been imprisoned. Okay? So they are imprisoned in a place where God has them chained up and locked up until Jesus returns. And once Jesus returns, then they will be ultimately destroyed and cast into the lake of fire, the Bible says, for eternal punishment. Okay? So currently right now, these Watchers who crossed that boundary, they have been imprisoned. Not on earth, but in a realm that is not a part of the earth until Jesus returns, and then they will ultimately be cast into hell. Okay? So that is currently where the Watchers are right now. So this gives us a deeper understanding in the sense of understanding the angelic creation. Okay? And next week we will get into more of what the angelic creation is like. So a few takeaways from today. Things that I want you guys to remember is that, number one, we understand there is a kingdom of God. And two, if there is a kingdom of God, then we need to understand that there is also a kingdom of Satan. What is the purpose of the kingdom of Satan? Well, Satan and his demons are looking to destroy humanity, and they're looking to disrupt the life of the Christian, to cause all sorts of doubt and confusion and to make you stagnant in your growth, in your relationship with God, to make you uncommitted, make you a little bit casual, compromised, get you distracted with things that don't really matter in eternity. This is what Satan and his kingdom do. Okay, and we're going to understand more as we go through this study how to recognize those things and how to overcome those things. And the third thing that we need to take away from today is to understand that as we journey as Christians through Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have been given the same authority as Christ to stand firm against the kingdom of Satan and to be victorious and to overcome his temptations and to overcome everything that the devil throws at us. That is a huge point that we need to remember, that through the power of the Holy Spirit and through God's grace and mercy, we have everything that we need as Christians to stand firm and to win this war that we are in. And we need to understand that we are in a war. And if we understand that we are in a war, then we also need to understand that through God, we have been given everything that we need to win this war, not only individually for our own personal faith and growth and maturity, so that at the end, we can still say that we believe in God, we're still following him passionately, and we've endured to the very end. And the second thing is that so that we can make an impact in the world, that we can go into the world and we can make disciples, we can preach the gospel, we can be bold and courageous for God, and we can love other people because we know that Holy Spirit has given us that power and that love and that authority to do so, okay? So be encouraged by that. That despite what you face as a believer, despite what Satan may try to throw at you, despite what he might try to do in your own life, through Christ, we have authority and we have victory. But for us, we need to believe that. We need to believe in God's word. We need to continue to grow in God's word. We need to continue to grow in understanding God's love and his character and his nature and how much he loves us and how much he calls us to live for him and to do the things that he's called us to do. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your truth and for your word. God, it's undeniable according to the Bible that we are at war and there is an unseen battle that is taking place, God. There's a battle that's taking place for peace in our minds and there's a battle that's taking place for our own spiritual growth. And Father, if we recognize that according to your word, there is a battle, then each of us have a choice. We can simply just brush it off and try to deny the fact or deny the truth that there is a war that is happening around us and continue to live our lives however we want to. Or we can accept the truth that there is a war that is happening around us. And through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have given us the victory and the power and the authority to win the war, to be victorious in the war, to stand firm in our identity in Christ. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us as a church to take this war seriously, to take our faith seriously, because there are souls that are going to be impacted, Father, whether or not we choose to take this seriously, God. And Father, you call us to make a difference and to make an impact in the lives of the people that are around us, God. And so I ask that you would continue to open the eyes of our understanding, give us spiritual wisdom and revelation to understand your truth, to understand who you are, and to understand who we are as your children and what you have called us to. I pray that our identity would grow to be secure, that our faith would grow to be secure, and that, Holy Spirit, you will help us to endure all the way to the end. So I thank you for this truth, and I just pray that as this truth has been planted in our hearts, that God, you would cause it to grow and that you would water it. In your name we pray. Amen. Communion. Okay, so we'll move into a time of communion now. Thank you. I was thinking about this before coming to service, and what I wanted to give you guys is just like a minute, just to spend some time, just you with God, just before we take a blood of Jesus Christ.